morning, everyone. It is absolutely fabulous to be back with you at virtual Mount Vernon. I look forward to the day when I can take the ferry and drive back to your sanctuary, or let's make it our sanctuary, shall we? That will be a beautiful day. And today, and thank you for all the references to trees throughout this morning's service. We're going to be talking about trees in the sermon. And in fact, we'll start with a wisdom statement that would likely catch your attention. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. And you do this quick memory check and you think back to whether you actually planted a tree during the best time. Perhaps you didn't. And then there's that nagging and corrosive feeling of regret that can rise inside you. You think, you know, I blew it. I missed the best time. Or perhaps you did plant a tree. And you think back to the day when you grabbed a shovel and dug a hole and placed roots in the cool earth and carefully scooped that dirt back into the hole with your bare hands, patting the soil gently. You savored that rich, humusy smell of the earth. You're kind to a worm who got uncovered during the process. And as you watered this new tree, you looked skyward and saw two clouds floating by. And you realized with that water in your hand and the water above you that you were engaged in a worldwide water cycle. And there were conversations earlier in the service about the blessed water that had come back to our region this week. And then you fashioned a fence to protect that sapling against deer and lawnmowers, weed whackers, and other hazards. And if you planted a fruit tree, say a cherry tree, you saw in your mind's eye the buds and the blossoms and the fruits in your future. Again, thinking back to our opening words and that wonderful poem about buds. And then 20 years later, witnessing your tree bloom once again, seeing the bees pollinate the blossoms, you are connected to every cherry blossom festival that has ever taken place over the past 1,000 years, a ritual when time is savored by watching the blossoms, where the most important thing in life at that moment is to stop being busy and to sit on a blanket amidst the trees, to sit on a blanket, sip a little bit of sake, watch the cherry blossoms with friends and family, to relax among the trees, the blossoms, the breeze, to feel the deeper pulse of life that we so often unconsciously just blast past with the demands of daily living. Now, a cherry blossom ritual that calls you to be attentive and to be present inside your time. An annual spring ritual driven by the season that bursts with renewal, that has inspired thousands upon thousands of picnics and parties, paintings and poems, with cherry blossoms as the theme, like this haiku by Onetsura. They blossom, and then we gaze, and then the blooms scatter, and then. In this brief little poem, like your brief life, the flow of time is ceaseless with each line containing verbs, those life actions through time. This poem, it was blossom, gaze, scatter. But the phrase "and then" separated each verb. They blossom, and then. We gaze, and then. The blooms scatter, and then. And the poem itself, you don't see it, but the poem itself actually doesn't end, because what follows the concluding "and then" is an ellipsis, dot, 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 the continuation, which opens the reader to consider the possible future, the next verb in the life story, and next verb in that stream of time. And that small ending phrase, "and then," followed by an ellipsis, dot, 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 it's profound, as it both connects actions in the present and propels into the future. The "and then" is asking directly here. You gazed and saw the cherry trees blossom. You witnessed the blooms scatter on the breeze. What now, friend? What lessons did you learn from your time with these trees planted 20 years ago? What did you learn from this season's blossoms? What now, as you and your friends scatter back into your daily lives. So let's consider that small phrase, and then. Let's keep it close at hand and close at heart throughout our time together this morning. And then pivoting from cherry trees to conifers, maybe the trees that you planted 20 years ago were thousands upon thousands of Doug fir saplings, with you expertly wielding your hodad on steep slopes as part of a tree planting crew on a restoration project, engaged literally in hand-to-hand combat with the brutal forces of global warming and climate change by restoring vast swaths of denuded mountainside, working your body hard to help heal the earth of those capitalistic wounds of a clear cut. Or maybe you were like my friend Dave, housemate from years and years ago, who went one step beyond merely planting trees. He lived with a crew in the forest as a professional cone picker, climbing high into these ancient conifers to gather cones to bring to nurseries so the seeds could be collected, the seeds could be planted, seedlings started and cared for, and then saplings brought in trucks to the restoration crew to plant the steep slopes of that mountainside while the distant rumble of log trucks could be heard from the trees. Log trucks carrying massive trees whose growth rings could be counted in the hundreds. And then, dot, 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 the crew kept planting. And while I use specific examples, I want to be perfectly clear that the phrase plant a tree is a metaphor for any and all long-term visionary projects that can be measured in annual growth rings, raising a family, recovering from an addiction, nurturing a relationship, saving for a rainy day, healing from trauma, growing a business, giving up bad habits, making investments, learning a language, building a career, etc. We could go on. And these are all trees that require time to grow and to mature, to bear fruit or cones or acorns. And just listen to those verbs that we just listed: raising, saving, giving up, making, learning, nurturing, growing, healing, getting, building, recovering. All of these actions require time. And a long-term project, along with time, also requires grit and soul, love and faith, and more than a little good luck. And what if you didn't, quote unquote, plant a tree 20 years ago? What if you flat out missed the best time for that particular project? Can you feel the regret seeping in? Or what if you planted a tree or trees and they didn't survive? The roots and the soil, the weather and the lawnmowers and the root-chewing varmints all conspired against you and your dreams, conspired against you and your best efforts. If this is the case, then I hope that you lived as well as you possibly could through those troubled times and that you came away from the experience with some valuable life lessons. Or like my grandmother used to say, perhaps like her, you earned a PhD in the School of Hard Knocks. And my guess is that we all suffer them. Hard knocks. The trees we planted with vision, certain future in mind, and that future never arrived. The trees we planted at the wrong time, in the wrong place, perhaps for the wrong reasons. This is all part of living. And if we're open and reflective, there are lessons to be learned. And many, many common life sayings bear this out, such as this quick list of seven. You live and you learn. Fall down seven, get up eight. You have to break some eggs to make an omelet. Chalk that one up for experience. Another bus will come. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And this one has a special warning. Beware of the unlived life. Now that phrase, beware of the unlived life, certainly echoes for me in that first sentence of the wisdom saying the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The thought of missing that best time is enough to give me a severe case of the regrets. Although the next sentence in the wisdom saying just breaks through like a sunbeam between dark storm clouds. And I actually wore my sunbeam tie and a gray shirt for just that reason. The second best time is today. So put together, we get the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. Second best time is today. Now, what an amazing thunderclap of realization and possibility. Today, right now, this Sunday, is the second best time. How glorious is that? Who cares that the best time is long ago? This is exactly how to melt regret. And this is exactly what happened to Scrooge when he woke up on Christmas morning and realized that his ghostly visions, while frightening, also gifted him in the morning light with a profound awareness that it was not too late to do something about his life, to make a course correction. It was not too late to loosen his tight heart and become a fount of generosity, to change his behavior from misanthropic miser to beloved citizen. Scrooge woke from that dream and stepped giddy into his second best time. And perhaps this morning, my friend, we step into our second best time with the blessed gift of a metaphorical sapling of a tree to plant. So this morning is yours to consider. What is your tree? Don't let regret seize up your heart. Reach for a shovel and glory in getting your hands a little dirty. Holding that wisp of a sapling, the wisdom from the wisdom saying blooms forth. You, your life expressed within your body, on your earth, inside your time, you are planting a tree at the precise center point of a 40-year moment. The best time to plant this tree, 20 years past. Here, in this place, there is no blossoming cherry tree for you to gaze at. The second best time is today. And as you place the roots of your sapling in the earth, you are living in the best time for this tree 20 years hence. This is a brave and visionary act. And when you wash your hands from planting and discover a little bit of that beautiful dirt under your nails, do yourself a favor and just keep that dirt there for a few days as a little reminder of that best time. And then, dot, dot, dot. And then you realize that it is always this way. The second best time is still time. Looking backwards, today is always the second best time. Looking forward, today is the best time. And it is important to note that both are categorized as best time. Best, second best, who cares? The time-rich word is today, right now, this Sunday. And just for fun, what if we push the concept of second best to the literal edge of time, to the last best? What shall we do at the end of time, our time, when the world slips away? We'll all face it one of these days, our final moments on this earth, hopefully not the final moments of earth itself. And this thought reminds me of a profound and powerful poem by W.S. Merwin called Place, with its life-affirming opening lines. On the last day of the world, I would want to plant a tree. Now, I just love the power of that couplet, the bravery of tending to a living being that requires abundant time to grow and mature when there is a realization that there are only hours left. Now, to me, these words are profoundly spiritual, profoundly brave, because they call us to transcend the end of the world, the end of our time on earth, by tending to young life in the present, in this moment, to realize what this tree is now. Because truthfully, the present, this moment, our today, is all the time we ever really have. And because life and time are the most precious gifts we've been given on this sweet, sweet earth, nurturing life and time is an act of supreme grace. Nurturing life and time is an act of supreme grace. And so here is the entirety of this brief poem, barely 80 words, that you can think about for the rest of your time on earth. Place by W.S. Merwin. On the last day of the world, I would want to plant a tree. What for? Not the fruit. The tree that bears the fruit is not the one that was planted. I want the tree that stands in the earth for the first time, with the sun already going down, and the water touching its roots, and the earth full of the dead, and the clouds passing, one by one, over its leaves. Now, there is just so much to unpack here, though I'm just going to focus on two stanzas. The tree that bears the fruit is not the one that was planted, and I want the tree that stands in the earth for the first time. Now, remember, this planting happens on the last day of the world. There are no 20 years unfurling ahead of this tree that will never bear fruit. Now, the person planting this tree will never gaze at the blossoms or compose poems inspired by their beauty. This tree is destined to end with the world later that day. Now, the poet planter knows this, and many would argue that this act is pointless, to plant a living tree in the face of certain death. Now, alas, all trees, metaphorical and otherwise, all trees have been planted in the face of certain death. Now, rather, I believe that this act, this planting of this tree, is a profound prayer, tending to new life in the last wisps of time. Now, imagine giving yourself to the whole project, feeling the soil in your hands as you scoop the dirt back into the hole and getting that good dirt under your fingernails. Like the poet, you look skyward and see the clouds passing one by one, and you water enough to give the roots a good soak. And you realize once again, with the water that you're pouring from your hand and the clouds floating over your head, that you are engaged in a worldwide water cycle. And to close, I'd like to share a quote that I heard recently that resonates beautifully and strongly with our theme this morning. Supposedly, this wisdom saying comes from the great mind of the Chinese sage Confucius. We have two lives. The second begins when we realize we only have one. And then... Amen.